to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Our subject this morning is the accomplishing word. The accomplishing word. Let's read verses 8 and 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Now, we've seen before how that Aaron's rod is a type of Christ preached in the gospel. He is Christ is the substance of the message we preach. And this is a picture of Christ preached in the gospel. Now, the Lord gives us the message to preach. He says there in verse 8, And the Lord spake unto Moses. God doesn't allow His preacher just to preach any message. He gives the word to preach. God is sovereign. God works effectually. And He's able to give the word that He will have preached. And God makes us speak it to whom He will have us to preach it to. The Lord commanded Moses to cast this rod before Pharaoh. He told Jeremiah, this is what Jeremiah said, The Lord said unto me, Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. That's where God, He told Jeremiah, Thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. He told Ezekiel, He said, Go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God. Listen to this. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. He didn't say, if they won't hear, change the message a little and tweak it a little. He said, preach what I tell you to preach regardless. Our Lord said, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Because He has all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. And Christ said, And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Aaron's rod here is a type of Christ as He's preached in the gospel. And what I want you to see is the gospel that our great God and Savior sends forth, the gospel that we preach, always accomplishes whatever the Lord's will is. When He sends the gospel into a place, it always accomplishes whatever the Lord's will is. It always does. He said, So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. That's always the case. Paul said, Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Always. He always makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. He said, We are unto God. A sweet savor in them that believe and in them that perish. We are unto God the savor of death unto death in one. And in the other we are unto God the savor of life unto life. And who's sufficient for these things? But it always accomplishes. God's gospel always accomplishes that which He would have it accomplished. Because when He speaks it, it's coming out of His mouth. Now first of all, our first thing we see here, before God sends us forth, He's going to tell us what to teach and what to expect. He's going to tell you what to preach and what to expect. This applies to all of us here. We're all witnesses of God, witnesses of our Lord Jesus. He's going to tell you what to speak, what to expect. Look at verse 9. He says, "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you." Now, this is what unregenerate men want. Men that have no spiritual sight want some sort of outward sign that they can see with physical eyes. Show us a sign. And this happened to our Lord. Look over at Matthew 12 with me real quick. Matthew 12. And verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and he said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." There is no sign but Christ. He's the sign. There's no greater miracle in this earth than God coming down and taking human flesh and dwelling among us. Remember what the Lord told Ahaz? "I'll give you a sign," the Lord said. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." That's the greatest miracle there is. Who needs a greater sign than that? The miracle that Christ accomplished on the cross when he redeemed his people. The miracle he accomplishes in the hearts of his people when he regenerates us. There's no greater miracle than this. This is the sign. And the way this sign is set forth is through the preaching of the gospel. Now look. So when we men seek a sign, what does the Lord command us to do? Men want to see a sign and start talking about signs. What does the Lord command us to do? Look at there. He says in verse 9, "Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." That's the same as saying, preach Christ to them. Preach Christ to them. When they want a sign from you, preach Christ to them. Christ is our one sign, and the means by which that sign is given is through the preaching of the word, through the preaching of the gospel. Now again, the Lord tells Moses here to say to Aaron, cast the rod before Pharaoh. You remember why? The Lord told Moses, say to Aaron, cast the rod before Pharaoh. Aaron's a picture of Christ. And just like the Lord taught Moses to say this to Aaron, the Lord teaches us to ask Christ to bless his gospel and make it effectual. We can't do it. We can't do it. Remember, Moses had a speech problem? So he sent Aaron to do the talking. We got a speech problem. We can't make it effectual in the heart of God's people. But Christ said, I'll be with you always. So that we ask him to make it effectual. And he makes it effectual. Now turn over to Isaiah 11. I want you to be sure to get this. This is so vital. So vital. The gospel word, the word we preach. Now I'm talking about God's preacher. I'm talking about the one Christ sends forth. The gospel word always accomplishes Christ's will because Christ sends it from his mouth. It's going out of his mouth. When it accomplishes the will, the word of the gospel is made effectual by Christ the word. The small W word is made effectual by the capital W word because it comes out of his mouth. You can't separate Christ the word and the gospel word. Now look here, I'll show you that. Isaiah 11 verse 1. "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." That rod is Christ. So he's the rod. Christ is the rod. He is the word. Look at verse 4. Look at the end there. and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. He is the rod, and he's going to smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. He's the word out of whose mouth the gospel comes forth into the hearts of his people. That's why it accomplishes his will. And here's what it accomplishes. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's one thing he always accomplishes through his word. Here's another thing, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. What does that mean? He gives his people a heart to lie down, to be in submission, to not be hurtful anymore, to bow to him. These are the two things he always accomplishes by his word. He slays the wicked, and he causes his people to bow. To bow. Now that's Christ the work, the rod. Now does he still do this? Is he still doing this from heaven now? We know he did this when he walked the earth. Is he still doing this from his throne in glory? Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And look here at verse 11. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven open. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's Christ. This is John seeing him in heaven, in glory. Now look at verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Christ. Look at verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is doing the same thing through his gospel right now from his throne in glory that he did when he walked this earth. The Word is speaking the Word and causing his will to be accomplished no matter where it is spoken. That's what Christ is doing. So Aaron, what did he do? So Aaron cast the rod to the ground, like God commanded. And it turned into a serpent. It turned into a serpent. Now here's the picture. This is a picture of how God delivers a sinner out of Satan's bondage. That's what's going on here. Moses is going there to declare God's word because God's delivering his people out of the bondage of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a picture of the serpent. He's a picture of Satan. Even his image that he had on everything in Egypt was a serpent. That was their image, was a serpent. He's a picture of the devil. That's who he pictures here. The serpent, Satan, was the one who came into the garden and beguiled Eve, which led to Adam falling, which infected all Adam's race with the poison of the serpent, with sin. That's how we all died, because of that serpent bite and the sin that it inflicted upon us. Now later, we're going to see in the wilderness, when they get out of Egypt and they get out into the wilderness, we're going to see that they reject Moses and they go to cursing Moses, and God sends serpents among the children of Israel. And the serpents began to bite the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Make a fiery serpent. Make it out of brass and set it up on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looks upon it, he shall live. God's cure was to lift up a brass serpent on a pole, just like the very serpent that was biting them and killing them. And it pictured our sinless substitute being made sin for his people, being made the thing that was killing us. That's what it pictured. Christ said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's a necessity. He had to be lifted up. Justice had to be satisfied. God had to be honored. And his people had to be justified. And that's what Christ accomplished. So that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. All they did in that wilderness was look to that pole. And when they looked to that pole, that serpent on that pole, they were healed. All we do is believe on Christ. And believing on Christ, you're healed. You're cured forever by God, by the Lord Jesus. So the rod cast to the ground pictures Christ coming to this earth, made flesh, made under the law. And it turned into a serpent, picturing Christ, made sin for us, made a curse for us, made to bear the wrath of God for us. And by that, he justified his people and declared God just and the justifier. He showed forth the righteousness of God. Now, that's not all that's pictured with this rod. Later, we're going to see this is that rod, Aaron's rod that budded. This rod was a shepherd's staff, a wooden shepherd's staff. And it budded. It spread out branches on it, just like a tree. And it began to bear almonds. God did that. He made it bear branches, and it began to bear almonds. It had life came from it. Well, through this rod, through this gospel that's preached, the Holy Spirit enters the heart, and He causes us to bud. He causes life to come forth. And He causes fruit to come forth. Faith in Christ and repentance from dead works. He causes that to happen through the rod of this gospel. That's what our Lord is accomplishing. The Lord who filleth all in all through the Holy Spirit is doing that work in the hearts of His people. And everybody who's experienced this, when you've experienced this great power of God through the gospel, you say with Paul, therefore, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. What's going to make you not be ashamed of Christ and His gospel? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. He said, it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. It takes the power of God to reveal the righteousness of God. And that's what's happening through the gospel. From faith to faith, whereby the just shall live by faith. This is why we're not ashamed of it. We beheld Christ, the righteousness of God, what He accomplished on the cross, and He did it through this means so that we come back for more. We come back for more. And this is how He makes you fruitful. God says of all His redeemed, in Ezekiel 20:36, He said, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. He's saying, just like I pleaded with them doing this miracle, causing that rod to become a serpent, just like I used that rod in Egypt and pleaded with your fathers in Egypt, He said, I'll cause you to pass under the rod. I'll cause you to pass under my gospel, and I'll bring you into the bond of the covenant. Isn't that how we brought into the bond of the covenant? I'll bring you under the rod. I'll bring you under the gospel, and I'll speak life into your heart, and I'll cause you to behold Christ my righteousness, and I'll cause you to submit to Him in faith, and I'll bring you into the bond of this everlasting covenant of grace. That's how He does it. And He said, and I'll purge out from among you the rebels through this rod. And them that transgress against me, I'll bring you forth, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now that's what He does through the gospel. This is why when He raised Christ, remember what the Lord told Christ? When He raised Him and set Him at His own right hand. In Psalm 110:2, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. That through that rod, slay your enemies. And you know what the very next word is? What's the next thing He does through the gospel? He slays the enemies and He saves His people. The next line is, and thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The two things He does. Now that's what's pictured here with this rod cast on the ground, turned into a serpent, the preaching of Christ crucified. Now secondly, I want you to see this. This is very important. The devil and his ministers imitate Christ and his ministers. The devil and his ministers imitate Christ and his ministers. Look at verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Satan does his most deceptive work in religion. He does his most deceptive work in religion. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's why Paul feared so greatly. Remember, he told the Corinthians, he said, I've espoused you to one husband. So I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy for Christ's sake. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. But a fear, he said, this is my great fear, that just as Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, so by any means he might beguile you. And he said, I'm fearful that your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. I'm fearful your minds will be corrupted from looking to Christ only. Christ only. Not to the enemy. Don't look to the enemy. Don't look to conflict. Don't look to he said, she said. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Don't take your eyes off Christ. Look to Christ. And he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you've not received, or another gospel which you've not accepted, you might well bear with him. Don't you know that hurt Paul? Here's Paul standing in the gap between the Corinthian believers and enemies who were firing arrows at Paul because of the gospel he preached. And Paul was absorbing those arrows shot from the enemy on a daily basis and continuing faithful preaching the gospel everywhere he went and to the Corinthians. And yet, some of those Corinthians were beginning to receive the very men who were shooting those arrows at Paul. Don't you know that hurt Paul? But our assurance is this, it's not us. How are we going to know if Satan is so beguiling and he's so such a deceiver? How are we going to know the difference? Well, it's not going to be by me, and it's not going to be by your power. Our assurance is that God shall not allow false prophets to be successful against his elect. That's our assurance. He said, he told Timothy, he said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. That was two of the leaders amongst these magicians that were doing that work in front of Pharaoh and Aaron and Moses was Jannes and Jambres. And he said, and just like they withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. These false prophets, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But, he said, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all. And he means unto all God's elect. Just as theirs also was. Just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was manifest to God's elect. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see. When was the folly of these false magicians, when was their folly made manifest to God's elect Moses and God's elect Aaron? When was their folly made manifest? Look back at Exodus 7 and verse 12. Look at the end. After they made their rods to look like serpents, it says, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. The deception can be so deceitful, brethren, that if it was possible, it would deceive the very elect. But God will not allow it to be possible. God won't allow it to be possible. Christ always prevails through the preaching of the gospel. Now, what are we seeing here? He always accomplishes His will through the Word. It never goes forth out of His mouth and returns void. Because by Christ's sin atoning sacrifice, what He did on the cross was crush the serpent's head. So the serpent can't prevail. He's put away the sin of His people. So the serpent's got nothing to accuse us with, and Christ is coming into the hearts of all His people through this gospel, and He's binding the strong man and spoiling his house. That's what Christ is doing through the gospel. He's binding Satan, and He's spoiling his house, calling out His people. Christ is doing this. And because of that sin atoning sacrifice, the prince of this world is cast out. His head is crushed. And so therefore, you and I, as the church of God, have this assurance. Christ and the gospel and His church shall always prevail against the gates of hell. Always. 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 Think about how Christ has prevailed through His gospel in the lives of you who believe. Think about how He's prevailed through the gospel in your lives. When we were dead in sins, the devil appealed to our sin nature to try to keep us blinded. And if we'd have been left in that state, we'd have remained blinded. But Christ sent forth the gospel, and His rod ate up that rod. His rod ate up the serpent's rod. Some of us were in false religion that was so deceptive that if it was possible, it would have deceived the very elect. I'm not talking about just blatant free will works religion. I'm talking about deceptive, claiming to preach sovereign grace, but mingling works with it. But God sent forth His gospel, and He made certain we heard it. And through that gospel, this rod ate up the serpent's rod. You think about how many different kind of means the Lord has used throughout your walk in the faith to try to get you to compromise the gospel or walk away from the gospel. He's used every kind of means in the world to try to make that happen. But what does Christ do? He keeps sending the gospel into your heart and renewing that inward man. And so thereby He keeps His rod keeps eating up the devil's rod. Sometimes we get our affections, plural, set on the things of this world. And the devil would use that to use the things of this world to draw your affections after the world. But you know what Christ does? He sends the gospel forth and He eats up that rod. He sets your affection. You ever notice that in Colossians 3? Not affections, plural. He says, He commands in the heart, set your affection. He brings your affection from being all scattered on all these, your affections on all these different things, to having your affection set on one thing, Christ at God's right hand. And so He, by His rod, swallows up the serpent's rod. Brethren, this is why Christ sends us forth to bear witness, and He tells us this, be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver thee, saith the Lord. We don't have to worry if the gospel is going to be successful. He just says, go forth and preach it. He told Aaron and Moses, go forth and when He asks you for a sign, don't be turned aside. Just preach the gospel. He said to Jeremiah, He said, I've made thee a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people thereof. That includes everybody. That's from the bottom to the top. He said, I've made you a brazen wall to all of them. A defense city to all of them. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And that means He's going to make the word effectual. Remember what He told Paul? Paul was in Corinth, and all that host of deceivers were there, and they were just, it was just nothing but a den of idolatry. About like being in New York City, was what Corinth was like. It was a major city. And full of nothing but corruption. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul and he said, you stay right here and you preach. Don't you be fearful. I'm with you. I've got much people in this city. And Paul kept preaching and Christ called him out. That's what he was telling Jeremiah. Now here's the last thing. Not only does God accomplish His will in calling out His people, but He always accomplishes His will even toward our enemies. Look here in verse 13. And He hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Just like God is sovereign to send His preacher with His word and make His preacher preach His word, God is also sovereign over the hearts of all men. He's sovereign over the hearts of all men, even His enemies. Listen to this. Revelation 17:17 says, God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. You mean God puts it in the hearts of men to agree with the devil and give their kingdom to the devil? He does so until the words of God be fulfilled. Yes. The scripture said to Pharaoh, for this same purpose I've raised you up, that I might show my power in thee and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. And you'll say, well, why does he yet find fault then? For who's resisted his will? If it's God that does this, then we've not resisted his will. Nay, but old man, who art thou to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Does not the potter have power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And what if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath which are fit for destruction, that he might make known the glory of his mercy unto those vessels of mercy that have been afore prepared unto glory. Even us who he's called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Brethren, what if God, well, that's why he's doing it. That's why he passes by some men, is so that he can show those he saves what mercy is and what grace is. He doesn't give it to everybody. It's a particular saving grace that he uses. And it's just for God to do it. Think about this. We're all God-hating rebels by nature. God would be just to harden all our hearts, because we're all God-hating rebels by nature. When you read about the reprobate who would not hear the gospel and refused to bow to the gospel, that's a description of me and you, my nature. What made the difference? God, of his own will, determined, by grace alone, I'm going to save some of these people. That's the only difference. God made the difference by His grace. Christ made the difference by His blood. The Spirit of God made the difference in our hearts, brethren. That's the difference. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? I tell you who won't say that. Those that have experienced this mercy. You won't say there's unrighteousness with God, because He's made you see what you are. The rebel doesn't see what he is. The rebel says, that's not fair. God ought to save me because I'm so cussy good. But the sinner sees, no, I'm very bad. I'm not going to call him unrighteous. He told Moses, I'll have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. And I'll have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So we know it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that shows mercy. And I pray when I preach, every time I preach, the reason I'm preaching is because I know this, God's going to show that mercy to His people. And I know this, before I knew Him, I hated Him just as much as the biggest rebel hates Him. So I don't blame the rebel. I know what it's like to be there. I know what it's like to have nothing but a natural understanding and have to go and sit and hear the gospel preached and have no rejoicing in it whatsoever. I know what that's like. But you see, the reason those that love you want you here is because this is the cure. The only cure. And if you're one God's going to show mercy to, He's going to do it through this word. He's going to do it through this word. And I pray that's what's happening this morning. I pray that every time I preach. Lord, have mercy. Please show mercy today. And I pray that's what He's doing. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for the gospel that You've given us. Lord, make us look neither to the left or to the right. Make us not to compromise. Make us to just do what You've told us to do and to set forth Your name. When we're in the workplace and we're in the store and we're with our family, Lord, make us bold enough to just tell people the truth. If anybody asks us the hope that's in us, make us, Lord, speak as we ought to speak. And make us trust that this is how You, that one that we think in our minds may not believe, it may just be one of Yours that You're going to call out. Lord, make us speak the truth to them. And Lord, we ask You now to show mercy through this gospel. Cause Your will to be accomplished in the hearts of Your people. We know You will. We know You've said Your will. And we know You've said that we must ask You. And we ask You, Lord, have Thine own way. Work Thy will. We ask this for Christ's honor and glory and the glory of Your great name in Him. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen.